Would you take your Bibles, please, and let's turn to Judges chapter 8. Over the last several weeks, I've been doing devotionals with my Bible class each morning at 8:15, and we've been going through the book of Judges. We won't finish the whole book, I'm sure. We're moving. I kind of slowed up a little bit with Gideon. And I, this morning, was just reading through this passage, and the Lord just kind of spoke to my heart about this question. What school am I attending? Now, being an educator, I would have to say that I attended Santa Rosa Christian School and Bob Jones University, Santa Rosa Christian College, and Louisiana Baptist University, and I've been to those different schools. But I'm not asking what elementary or middle school or high school or college that you attended. Which school are you attending in life? This particular passage of Scripture describes to us two groups of people that refused to help Gideon and the 300 men that stood up against the Midianites. Perhaps it's been a while since you've read the book of Judges, but chapter 8 is very revealing. I want to begin at verse 4 of chapter 8, and we're just going to kind of pick and choose some verses to read from this passage, because I want to ask you, are you attending the school of wisdom? Or are you attending the school of hard knocks? And those are the two schools that I would be referring to tonight. And Gideon came to Jordan, verse 4, and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint, yet pursuing them. Now he's going after Zebah and Zalmunna. These are the Midianite kings who had fled away and were trying to get away. And he said unto the men of Succoth, give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint, and I am pursuing after Zebah and Zalmunna, kings of Midian. And the princes of Succoth said, are the hands of Zebah and Zalmunna now in thy hand, that we should give bread unto thine army? And Gideon said, therefore, when the Lord hath delivered Zebah and Zalmunna into mine hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars. And he went up thence to Penuel, and spake unto them likewise. And the men of Penuel answered him as the men of Succoth had answered him. And he spake also unto the men of Penuel, saying, when I come again in peace, I will break down this tower. Let's move on to verse 13. And Gideon the son of Joash returned from battle before the sun was up, and caught a young man of the men of Succoth, and inquired of him, and he described unto him the princes of Succoth, and the elders thereof, even 77 men. 77 men got their names. Yep. You ever heard about I'm taking names? Well, that's exactly what Gideon was doing. He said, I need to know who the princes of Succoth are. I need to know their names. And so this young man gave him the names of all these individuals, and it came unto the men of Succoth in verse 15, and said, behold, Zebah and Zalmunna, with whom ye did upbraid me, saying, are the hands of Zebah and Zalmunna now in thine hand, that we should give bread unto thy men that are weary? And he took the elders of the city, and thorns of the wilderness and briars, and with them he taught the men of Succoth. And verse 17, and he beat down the tower of Penuel, and slew the men of the city. There are some, it's interesting when you read different writers, commentators, and so forth. Some of them are very critical of Gideon and what he did there, that he used excessive force against these individuals that didn't know whether they should support Gideon or not. Now remember, please, that the men of Succoth and Penuel were all part of the Israelite family. They were just living on the eastern side of the Jordan River in the Transjordan area. And by refusing to feed Gideon's men, who were they siding with? Zebah and Zalmunna. They were letting them get away. Here's Gideon's men. They're tired. They're hungry. After pursuing, they need something to eat. And so while they're stopped there, these men said, you know, you should have these men in your hands by now. Why should we help you? Why should we feed your army here whenever these kings are getting away from you? You need to be off and pursuing them. Now notice something. Gideon did not ask any of these men of Succoth or Penuel to come help him fight, did he? He didn't ask him to come help fight. All he asked for was some food support. Would you feed my men? And they absolutely refused. And so, whenever the battle was over and he got the two kings, he came back and he sent them to a different school called the School of Hard Knocks. Have you ever studied about where that expression came from? It's kind of an interesting thing. It came about in a book in 1870. The book was entitled The Men Who Advertise. And this little line is in that book. His misfortunes were largely owing to the inexperience of his youth. Trained, however, in the School of Hard Knocks, he now had learned the theory of success. And that's where that phrase came from. Mark Twain built upon this particular phrase when he had this humorous comment concerning the School of Hard Knocks. Another animal story, if you would. A man who carries a cat by the tail learns something he can learn in no other way. All right? How many of you, well, maybe I shouldn't have a show of hands here. Any of you ever picked up a cat by its tail? Okay? All right, if you did, you learned a lesson. All right? You learned a lesson. You went to the School of Hard Knocks. I will never forget, we had a sign on our gate. We had a dog, and what was the name of that dog that we had? It was an ugly dog. Maximilian, Max was his name for short. And we had a sign on the front, all right? Don't come in the yard. We have a dog that bites. When we picked up Max from the pound and I brought it home, I thought I was going to have a sweet dog. But that dog, I chewed up Brenda a couple of times, and the boy down the street ignored the sign, came into our yard, chomp, 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 and he took off running down the street. Next thing I know, I didn't know all this had happened, but we got a man standing there at the gate doing this. It was the boy's dad. And I came out and he said, I'm very upset with you. Your dog bit my child. And I said, sir, would you look at the sign that you're standing in front of? He looked down, said, don't come inside the yard. Our dog bites. I said, your son completely ignored the sign, came in the yard. But I said, I will go get the veterinary report that says he had all of his shots. The next morning, Max and I took a trip. All right. And we went down. I went down to Walmart. I picked up my 10-pound bag of food. And I went down to the Humane Society, and I dropped off Max of the 10-pound bag of food. And they asked me the reason. And I said, the dog bites. I said, if you don't have any children in your neighborhood and you have a fenced-in yard, you're probably all right. But I said, I'm not keeping the dog. Now, that dog was unfriendly. And that boy learned a powerful lesson. Ended up moving after that, so I don't know if that was related to that or not. But here was another thing. In 1918, there was a newspaper article in the Peninsula Enterprise newspaper, 1918, called The School of Hard Knocks. And this is what it said. Much of our education is to be obtained only in the School of Hard Knocks. There is no age limit in this school, and the sooner you are graduated, the better for us. Doesn't say the better for you, but the better for us. Everybody that's watching you while you're in the School of Hard Knocks. Now, I've got a couple of lessons here. I wish I could go on. There's a whole bunch of historical type things. There was, as a matter of fact, a whole society called the University of Hard Knocks. 1947, they started this, the University of Hard Knocks. And what they did is they highlighted five people every year. A man endowed this university, highlighting five people who learned something on a national scale from the School of Hard Knocks. And they were recognized, and they were given $1,000. They had people just going to the School of Hard Knocks for just so they can get money. But this went on, and it finally closed its doors in 2014. This university had been recognizing people. I guess we ran out of people that didn't want to go to the University of Hard Knocks anymore. But I think about these men of Succoth and Peniel. Remember the old one-room schoolhouse? It used to have the dunce cap. Anybody remember reading about those? Maybe you went to school that had a dunce cap. And what they would do is they would make the person that misbehaved or whatever had to come stand in the corner with the dunce cap on their head for a certain period of time, trying to embarrass that child where they wouldn't commit the same crime again. I don't know how effective that was, but I often think about these men who could have acted wisely, but chose instead to do something very foolish, and as a result of that, were judged. They even lost their lives because of their foolish decision. They could have been in the school of the wise, but instead they matriculated in the school of hard knocks. You know, it's much better if we learn now. And of course, we often think about young people and children. I'm speaking to them tonight, but I'm also speaking to adults because there's a lot of adults that go to school at the school of hard knocks. They just haven't figured things out. And so they keep going to the school of hard knocks and they get beat up a little bit and they come out and say, well, I probably shouldn't have done that. But you're right. You shouldn't have done that. You should have known better. You ever heard that expression told you? You should have known better. I should have known better. Now I'm toting the scars from what I should have known to avoid. You know, these two groups suffered greatly. Whenever Gideon came back, he went straight to the men of Succoth first, 77 of them. And the Bible says that he took the thorns and the thistles, the briars, and he taught the men of Succoth. Isn't it interesting that the Bible, the Hebrew, uses an education term to talk about these men of Succoth? There are many commentators. What did this look like? Did they go and gather these up and whip them with it? I don't know. Maybe they did. Most Bible scholars, though, after studying historical accounts, said that these men would have been drugged by a camel or a horse through a briar patch over and over and over again till their clothing was stripped off of their bodies to teach them a lesson. That's a hard lesson. That's a very hard lesson. In Penuel, they had their tower broken down. Now, what is significant about a tower? Oftentimes, a tower would be built right in the middle of a vineyard. And the whole purpose of that was that someone would be on guard during the day and would watch out to see if someone was coming into the vineyard to attack, or if there were foxes or animals that would destroy the vineyard. They were watching out for enemy forces, and they were watching out for animals that might cause harm to their vineyard. So it was pretty significant to have the tower destroyed. If it wasn't in the vineyard, if it was not located there, a tower was a place where people ran into it to protect themselves from the enemy. They would seal the doors, and then they would make their way up to the top, and they would have a stash at the top of stones and rocks. And so what they would do is if the enemy came in, they would go up to the top of the tower, and then they would start casting down rocks. All right, you remember what happened to, Jezebel? I forget who it was that was hit with the falling rocks. But they would sit there and they'd throw them down, and people getting hit, they would leave. And they would defend themselves by having a tower. They lost their tower. And the Bible says the men of Penuel were killed because of their foolish statement. We will not feed your men until you go find those two kings. Now, did the two Midianite kings need to be found? Absolutely. They needed to be judged. If you read on in chapter 8, you find that the two kings admitted to the crimes against Gideon's family. And then when Gideon appointed a young man to go up and slay the two kings, he refused to do it. And the two kings began to mock the young man, admitting their crime, and said, "Is there not a man among you who will come and kill us for the crimes that we have committed?" And Gideon, we're told, got up and he went and he ran the sword through both of them and killed them right there. So these were guilty individuals. I've got a few applications that I want to give to you tonight as we bring our Bible study to a conclusion. Number one, be careful who you identify with in times of clarity. I want to repeat this again. I kind of emphasize this with our young people. I didn't use these exact words, but the thought was there. Be careful who you identify with in times in which clarity should be. It should be clear who you side with, but instead you foolishly side with the wrong people. You want to know how often that happens? And some people refuse to get on the right side, the side of truth. You know, it's amazing to me that the people who care the least about truth are constantly saying, we want to speak truth and follow science. They wouldn't know science if it came up like a dog and bit them on the backside. They don't know what science is. Science is empirical. You have to test. They don't know what science is. When they say science, they're talking about some PhD who's a liberal. That's all they mean. Clarity. Clarity, folks. We got to think clearly. You better be careful who you associate with and put your name with. This ministry, our school, Gospel Project, stands for something in the Milton community. Do you understand that? People expect high things from this church and this school and this ministry in our area. We're held to a much higher standard. What does that mean? That means we've got to stand and be associated with the right people in times of clarity. Because if we don't, what's going to happen? The whole thing's going to fall like a deck of cards. That means you got to stand up for what's right. That means you have to say no. That means say, not us. Other people may, not us. Do you know why all the wheels are falling off the wagon of these people? Because they didn't do right to start with. Always happens. Always happens. Sooner or later, the wheels will come off a lie. And you'll be found that you were a liar, that you told a lie. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. People that always have to shade a story or do something, they have to remember how they shaded it. Now, I was with this person a year or so. What did I say? What was the story that I gave? Oh, no, I forgot. I've heard people that have had six or seven different testimonies of how they came to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Isn't that amazing? Man, they had six or seven different conversion experiences because they never could get the story right. Which one's right? Or maybe it's never taken place. We need to make sure that we're careful who we identify with in times of clarity. Did the men of Succoth and Penuel identify with the right side? What's the answer, everyone? No, not even close. Number two, help the cause of God when the need is great. Help the cause of God when the need is great. Oh, there's some great needs. There are many needy individuals right now that have been missionary families, ministries, churches. We haven't seen yet all the impact of this virus and the shutdown on the economy. We're going to have some airlines go down in the next few months. We've already seen the negative numbers that have come out on all the airlines. Some of them are talking about bankruptcy now. The number of schools, Christian schools, that will not be open in the fall because they've been devastated financially by what's happened. They were already on thin ice, and now we don't know. We don't know what the impacts are going to be. How many missionaries are going to have to come home from the field because churches stop supporting them because they don't have any money? These are all things that we're facing. And you and I, we need to be givers to the great causes of God. Do I hear an amen? We need to be givers to the cause and help when the need was. When they should have helped, these men said, no, we're not going to help you. You get after those two kings. Yeah, we'll help you when you find those two. Oh no, that wasn't the time to pass on the great need. It was a time to get in there and support and feed those men who would go out. They weren't being asked to go fight. All they were asking was to feed these 300 men. Is 300 too many people that need to be fed? I don't think so. Number three. This comes from Numbers 32:23. It was a verse that was used often in my childhood. You probably know it. Be sure your sin will find you out. I don't think for one second that the men of Succoth and Penuel thought that Gideon was actually going to come back. But he did. That's what happens with sinners. Sinners have short-term memory. They commit their sin and they forget about it. And then a consequence comes in down here. And they don't connect the dots. They don't put the two things together. Oh, we've seen this so many times over the years. So many times. Be sure your sin will find you out. That's what was told to the Israelites. When I call you forth to go up against the enemies of the land, you better be there to fight. Because if you don't go up and fight, be sure your sin will find you out of not going up. And then number four. This was a statement that was posted yesterday by Evangelist Mike Schrock. And this was a quote from Charles Spurgeon. I want you to listen to this because there's nuggets of gold here that I want you to get on my fourth point. If any man thinks ill of you, do not be angry with him, for you are worse than he thinks you to be. I'm going to read that again. This is from Charles Spurgeon. This is not my quote. This was what Mike Schrock posted up. He was reading a sermon by Charles Spurgeon, and I want to tell you, he had 157 amens and whatever after that was. And I posted on there, only if people realize that that's the way they ought to think. Dr. Bob Sr. put it differently, no doubt the trouble is with you. Mom had a different spin. No doubt the trouble is with me. That's how we're supposed to say it. No doubt the trouble is with me. You know how few people think that way in churches all across America? No doubt the trouble is with you, 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 you. But don't forget, when you're pointing like this, you got three fingers pointing back at you. Listen to this statement again. If any man thinks ill of you, do not be angry with him, for you are worse than he thinks you to be. And this was certainly true of Succoth and Penuel. They were individuals that thought ill of Gideon. Gideon, his men needed food. And they continued to pursue, by the way. We have no record that they found food to eat. They continued on until they got the two kings, brought them back, but then they mopped up the ground with the men of Succoth and the men of Penuel. Which school are we going to attend? The school of wisdom, where we let God's Word speak to us? Wait a minute, don't go down that pathway. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. Not going to go down that path. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to be simple concerning evil and wise unto that which is good, Romans 16 tells us. Listen, folks. We've got a personal responsibility. Every one of us that's in this room, personal responsibility to matriculate at the school of wisdom. Because there's only one other school down the street. There's only two schools. The school of wisdom or the school of hard knocks. Now, bless their hearts, some people, that's the only school that they know how to go to. And they tote lickens all the time. But guess what? The men of Penuel, they didn't survive their licking. There's food for thought there. You can do stupid for so long until you pay for it with your life. And so may God help us. We're living in days of stupid. Can I say that again? You say, well, that's exceptionally harsh, Pastor Brainerd. I don't think so. I mean, we see stupid all the time. All you have to do is turn on the news and look at a reporter and you'll see stupid all evening long. You'll see a politician with a microphone in their face, stupid. You hear about all these people, they showed prisoners in a prison. They put the video up of them running around trying to purposefully infect each other with COVID-19 because some of them were sick, and purposely so they could get out of prison. There were 49 of them. 26 of them got infected. And they were informed, you won't be leaving. Stupid. Yeah. But stupid happens all over the place. It doesn't just happen in prisons and in the halls of Congress. It happens in Christian churches all across America. Not in our church. No. Oh, it does. It does. When we're on there in social media, responding, blah, 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 boop, send. Oh, wait, what did I just post? How many times do you have to go on and apologize because you posted up the wrong thing, said something that wasn't true? Wouldn't it be better to go to the School of Wisdom and say, before you start typing, whoa, step back. Maybe I need to think about this before I go posting that up. Maybe it's not true. How many petitions have you been asked to sign lately? Did you do your homework before you signed it? Well, my friend posted that up. It's got to be true. Well, maybe out in the country it is, but not here. You've got to understand. Prudence. Prudence says slow down and attend the School of Wisdom. Slow down and attend the School of Wisdom. Because if you don't, you'll end up running through the doors of the School of Hard Knocks. And if you're not careful, you could end up just like those in Penuel, who didn't think a thing about saying, we're not going to feed you and your men. Didn't think a thing about that those words would come back and kill them. Okay? Well, that's Old Testament. That's Old Testament. That doesn't apply to us. I want to tell you something. It's the same God we serve today. And consequences are just as real. So may the Lord help us in the times in which we live to exercise prudence and go to the right school.